Podcast, episode 13, and I'm one of your hosts, Daz, and with me is my good friend, Brendan. How are you, mate?
I'm good as usual, and I see you sick as usual.
Yeah, work in the childcare centre. There's so much germs and ickies, and it doesn't stop. But you know what? I'm here, mate. You know, there's no rest for the wicked. As Ozzy Osbourne said.
It wouldn't be a hands-on gaming podcast if you weren't sick.
Sick, I mean, or seriously. Feeling it. But at least I've got a nice, husky, sexy voice. But we have a new member to the team. Mm-hmm. Our good friend Louis from Retro Gamer Nation.
Welcome. Hi, guys. Hi, Brendan. Hi, Darren. Thank you for having me on board. And hello to all hands-on gaming podcast listeners. Hopefully we can bring the usual standard of old nostalgic game debates, discussion, and disagreements as your previous, this is episode 13, so yes, per the previous 12 episodes. Hopefully I won't lower the standard you guys have set up over the past few months.
I'm sure it's not going to get, you can't get lower than what
I'm sure it can't get lower.
No. Thanks for accepting, man. It's nice to get a third opinion in here, and
awesome.
No, really happy to do. Really happy to be invited, and I'm especially happy that you're not making me wake up Sunday 8 a.m. to do this, Darren. So thank you very much for accommodating on that.
Oh, jeez, nah. Well, you know, we got to do what we got to do. Hey, we've got to do what we got to do.
Oh yeah.
But anyway, let's get to it. We the team put forward a vote for what game we were going to review this episode, and it was Louis' suggestion that won, and that was World Games by Epix.
Yes, I was a bit surprised. So, you know, we all nominated one game each. Darren, you put forward Kickstart 2.
Yep.
And Brendan, you put forward Law of the West, and
yeah,
for a while there, I thought Kickstart 2 was going to take it off. Even so, to the extent where I actually started playing some of the versions in preparation for this episode. But I wouldn't mind seeing Law of the West come through as well. That would have been quite an interesting discussion to take place.
Yeah, it was nice that we had three different, completely different games. So
yeah, completely different. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. And yeah, so I thought Kickstart was going to win.
Me too. I thought it was going to win.
But it was great to see. Yeah, World Games, something for a little bit different. Probably took it by one or two votes, so fantastic. So thank you to my family who I begged to go and vote on the tour. So we got through. Great job, guys.
It was rigged.
Rigged.
So I suppose World Games, when I think back to it from a nostalgic perspective, it is quite dear to my heart. It's the fourth game in the Epix Games series, originally released by Epix in 1986 for the Commodore 64, if I'm not mistaken. And then that was followed up with ports or conversions across to all the other popular home micros of the day and a couple of video game consoles as well, which I was surprised. Maybe as we discuss the Nintendo and the Mega Drive, sorry, not the Mega Drive, the Sega system, Master System, maybe it was better left off from the conversion process. I don't know, but we'll discuss that a little bit further on. For those who aren't that familiar with World Games consists of 8 quite varied events. And it was a departure from the previous Epix Games series where it wasn't necessarily focused on Olympic-style events, even though there are a couple of Olympic-style events within World Games, with each event supposedly representing a nation of the world, hence World Games. The 8 events on offer within World Games, and the order does, well, for most versions, there are 8 events. The events on offer are weightlifting, which represents Russia, barrel jumping, which from memory is Germany, or West Germany at the time. We have cliff diving, which was Mexico. Downhill skiing, I think, was representing France. Log rolling was Brendan's own wonderful country of Canada.
Woo, woo, woo.
By the way, Brendan, how often do you go log rolling?
Every second Saturday.
Oh, every I'm going to see it. I'm going to see that.
Yeah.
And then we also have bull riding, which covers off the United States, the caber toss for Scotland, and then we finish up with good old sumo wrestling from the land of the rising sun, Japan. I think it's quite interesting in that I said there's one platform that only that does not have all eight games, and a couple of the home micros mix the order around a little bit, as we'll discuss as well later on as we get through those platforms as well. But I'm keen to actually ask you guys, do you have any like memories of the game coming out back in the mid-80s?
I don't remember it coming out. I remember getting it from Dodgy Dave. And it was the first – it was actually the first game that I played out of, you know, summer, winter, etc. But I enjoyed it back then. I feel differently about it now.
Well, it's quite interesting. Brendan, how about yourself?
I remember it coming out because I read one of the reviews. I think it was either in C plus VG magazine or whatever. And I remember the adverts in the magazines. It really got me hyped because one of the early games I played on my C64 was Summer Games. And there was like a major thing with me and my friends, like, so, and then Summer Games 2. And by the time I didn't get to play World Games when it came out, though, in 1986, I played it last out of all the game series. So I only played it like probably about 1988 or 89, because I just never got a Dodgy Dave version of it early. It just ended up getting into the collection eventually. But so I'd already played the whole, you know, all the other games before that. And this was the last one, but it was definitely like, it was one I always wanted to play, and I wasn't disappointed when I finally got to play it.
Yeah, well, I said I was a big fan of the Epic Games series, and especially the first four, and I'd always go out and purchase the original cassette version. You know, and back in Australia days, they would come in large clamshell type cases.
Yeah, the double cassette ones.
Yeah, like double cassette. Yeah, correct. And I was very much looking forward to World Games, predominantly because I really enjoyed Winter Games a lot. Yeah. That was a game that enthralled me. I'd have my own Olympic events where I'd play all eight contestants, all different countries, and just spend a good Saturday evening going through playing all those winter events and having imaginary competition and seeing which country would come out on top. Funny enough, Australia always seemed to would always come out on top. I'm not sure why, but so when I saw World Games come out and the different types of events and even the cover art, it was quite attractive.
The
color, it was something I'd never hesitated to purchase. And so when it did eventually come out to mine and Darren's favorite Commodore 64 store as a child, the Home Entertainment Center. In good old St. Albans, Australia. Yeah. I jumped upon it, threw across my $30 and hopped back on my bike, went back home and played it instantly. But I think, as we'll probably touch on it, maybe it's not the best of the game series.
I don't think
In hindsight. Mm. Why this one stands out for me is it's probably the only one that I specifically remember playing with friends and family.
Okay.
And so it's got that additional warmth, nostalgic feelings to it, because I remember showing off my prowess at the weightlifting and, watching my cousins or friends just struggle as they could, they weren't used to games that didn't require fast joystick waggling or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely controlled a lot differently than the other ones in the series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a few events there. I still don't know what to do, I'll be honest.
There's one event that I've never been able to master, but we'll get to that.
Well, I suppose, I don't know how you want to approach this, guys, whether you want to go platform by platform first or whether you want to talk about the events themselves in terms of is there a favourite event of yours and which was probably the least favourite?
I reckon we do that after we review the actual ports. But I reckon I think we have to start with the C64 version personally.
The original. Yeah.
Well, all right. We'll give Louis a break because he did that long, you know, little intro there. Mm-hmm. Give his voice a bit of a break. Brendan, would you like to go first?
Yeah, sure. So, like I said earlier, I played this one the last out of the whole series. So, it was kind of strange playing it then, even because I had just played the game's summer edition and the game's winter edition, which were really like, you know, as far as Commodore 64 games, graphics and all that go, it really pushed it to the absolute limit. Mm-hmm. And, not that it's taking anything away from Will Games. It's a fantastic looking game. The graphics and animation are just fantastic. I just love it. The music, it's typical epics. I just love the tunes. They're so like nostalgic. Like I love the fact that every event has its own little like fun little tune.
They're very basic tunes.
They're very basic.
But less is more. It's
how
it feels with that. There's not much in there, but it's enough to say, yeah, this is cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It just gives you enough that it gets your toe tapping.
Yeah.
They're very catchy little tunes. It doesn't push the SID in any sort of way, but it's still nice. What I like about the C64 version the most though is the attention to detail. Mm-hmm. A lot of the other versions lack this, and that's especially the C64 one has a lot of animation in the background. You have little flags flying. There's certain events like the log rolling where the crowd jumps up at the end when you win, and there's a lot of like background stuff which I really like, and a lot of the other versions that we're going to talk about just eliminate all of this. It's almost like they take out some of the atmosphere of the game. Also the C64 version, it's like the attention to detail, like for example, the cliff diving, when the guy dives off the cliff and he hits into the water, the color of the character actually changes to like a blue color to show that he's actually underwater. And when he pops up, you know, he's back to like his regular color. I don't think there's a single other version that I remember that actually did that. They all just kept the same color, even like the 16-bit ones, which is like just like sloppy stuff like that. That's what I love about the C64 one. It's just so much detail. Also like all the sound effects in it. There's a lot of sound effects, like especially the weightlifting. You can hear the guy breathing in that. Some of the other versions do that.
It's important.
Yeah, it's important to the actual
the playability of the game.
The gameplay, really. Yeah. And there's a few versions that don't even have sound in that part, and it's just really weird, and it actually affects the way you play it. Mm-hmm. But anyway, the bagpipe music has to be mentioned. I think it's freaking brilliant. I was doing the jig. If you're not even looking at the screen and those bagpipe music come on the C64 version, especially, you would actually think it's like real bagpipes. It sounds damn good. But overall, I played this with my brother and maybe a couple friends. It was really fun. It was a little bit harder to try and explain to other people how to play this game, because it wasn't like Louis said earlier, it wasn't like a joystick waggler, like, you know, summer games, which is more straightforward, you know, lots of waggling. And it was easy for anybody to play. This one, you had to like learn each event. But yeah, I loved it, and I still do. I think it's a fantastic game in the series. It's not the best in the game series. I think California Games is still my favorite, and probably a tie between California Games and Winter Games. But it's still really good.
Interesting. I agree with a lot what you've said there. I'm not going to repeat pretty much what you said anyway. I'm just going to say, look, what can I say? Our solid controls, great graphics and sound. right, this is going to be the negative side for me, but this is for all versions. I think what lets this game down for me is that I think a lot of the events are just not fun. I don't know. I really enjoy barrel jumping and weightlifting the most. But, I don't know. Maybe because I got Dodgy Dave, you know, copy back in the day. I could just never figure out how to do most of these, you know, most of these events. So it's partly, obviously, my fault. But, like...
Well, you definitely need the manual.
Yeah.
This is... Yeah. Like, without the manual, you wouldn't know what to do, like in bull riding, for example.
Yeah, I have no idea. Yeah. Even the log rolling, it's the, you know...
Well, you know actually, what I mean? Well, I mean, we might touch upon it later, but even the manual doesn't really properly describe what you're supposed to do in log rolling.
That's the only thing. But besides that, like, I found the sound is very, very important. And I find that the other versions are missing this besides the 16-bit versions. Like, for example, with the, what's it called? With the barrel jumping. Hey, you have to waggle the stick, but in a certain rhythm. You need that. You don't hear that with the other 8-bit versions. And that's just really off-putting and it's really hard. You know what I mean? All right, you've got the power level at the bottom, you know, the sort of to see how your rhythm is going, but just the sound just adds that extra, it just helps. And I found that's a deal breaker for me with other versions, which I'll talk about later. But look, it is overall. Look, I mean, besides me not knowing how to do certain events, it's a solid port. And look, playing it, I didn't enjoy it as much as I used to as a kid, but I can see why people like it so much. And for a game that came out in 1984 that looks the way it does is phenomenal. It's insane. And Epix were just known for great graphics back then. I mean, even if you look at G.I. Joe, that looks fantastic. That game's old as, and it still looks really good. So, anyway. Louis?
Oh, yeah. Well, I said, the Commodore 64 version is no doubt the most feature-rich in terms of overall production, but all those little Easter egg-type things. So, you know, I really, you know, one of the first things I did with all the versions was in the weightlifting, after a successful lift, just hold it up to see what would happen to the weightlifter. Would they just simply drop it? Or like in the Commodore 64 version, does the face turn purple before the guy falls through the stage? You know, it's all those little touches which are just make a treasure to me. And though admittedly you said in preparation for this episode, I went to the Commodore 64 version first and said, oh, hang on, this is not as enjoyable as I remember. Mm-hmm. But I did play all the platforms twice. And by the end of it, I was pretty much enjoying most of the versions fully. Okay. And I kind of fell back in love with it after all that. You know, the Commodore 64 version said, I love the organic looking nature of the graphics, you know, that slightly muddy look, which is, you know, as opposed to the somewhat little bit glossy look on the 16-bit machines. I love the use of the inclusion of the travel logs that are in a C64 version, just giving a little bit of background information of each of the events. Said we've got the countries tuned, so because not all versions have countries, so you just type in name. So I really enjoyed revisiting the game. And still find it quite enjoying, though it probably would have been best if somehow Darren and I could, you know, have found the time to at least probably go through the events together.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think just showing. But it is, as I said, a great memory for me, and I'm just happy to relive it. So I really enjoyed the C64 version. It still holds up now for me, even though my initial impression was, oh, hang on, what's going on?
Yeah, yeah. I get it, because I feel the same way. So, all right, well, tick for the C64 version. All right, let's get into the ZX Spectrum. Let's go 8-bit. I'll go with this one. I'll start with this. Look, I think it's okay graphics. I think it's ample for the time of its age. It feels a little bit rushed. I feel you can tell it wasn't, you can tell it's that game's not made for that system. It's just, it's weird. Yeah. It's like Manic Miner on the C64 when it belongs in the Spectrum. Mm. You know, it's like that.
Sound Darren, what did you think? Sorry, before you move on to sound, I wanted to ask you, Darren, what did you think of the bull riding graphics?
Oh, it's terrible.
It was a retina burning red.
Yeah, I can't really say much of nice things about this version, to be honest. But what got me more was the sound that was nearly non-existent, which, I said before, it's important to the gameplay. Mm. I just many sound effects are missing, and like I said, it helps with timing. So again, it just makes the game just a sloppy experience. I personally can't recommend it. I think if you had this and you had nothing else to play back in the day, you probably would have accustomed yourself to it. It's, you know, probably something that you would have played and think, hey, this is cool. But I think if you played the C64 version at a friend's house and went home and played the Spectrum version, you would be very disappointed. So yeah, I think this port falls flat on its face.
Yeah. It's a dodgy port, this one.
It is.
Well, I'm surprised. I didn't think it was that bad. I think I'm neutral on this port, to be honest.
Okay.
I note no countries, no travel logs, no crowd noise. So that was probably off-putting for me. Graphics-wise, like I said, the weightlifting looks good. The weightlifting looks like a Spectrum version of this Commodore 64 version, if it makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the color use. So I was quite happy with that. I think it's got one of the better versions of skiing.
Yes.
I find skiing to be largely unplayable on a lot of the versions. And even a C64 version, it isn't really crash hot. You just crash too easily.
Yeah. Valid point.
Specky version, it's fast. It's a fast.
Yeah.
It's a good ski game.
Mm-hmm.
That is enjoyable. So I quite enjoy that. What else was it? Weightlifting was good. Cliff diving. What annoyed me there was a lot of flicker of your player sprite as they were diving, and that was kind of driving me nuts. I mentioned bull riding. It said that sea of red that just burned into my retinas. I had to couldn't see for a couple of minutes. So I said sumo before it started. Sumo looked nice, I thought. But then things started to move, and it was so painful. But I'm not sure whether the C64 version of sumo is any better, because on the C64 version, things happen so fast. It's quite, you kind of move the joystick about in some ways, and all of a sudden you're thrown out of this circle. And because you're too busy pressing the buttons, etc., it kind of, the game quickly ends, as opposed to at least the Z64, while it is sluggish, at least it kind of allows you to play sumo. Yeah, right. You could actually see, if I move my joystick right, I can actually see my sumo do something.
Yeah.
I didn't quite get that appreciation with the C64 version.
Yeah, the C64 version of sumo reminds me a lot of Epic's championship wrestling, where as soon as you start the game, the game can be over in literally like 10 seconds. Like the guy just grabs you, throws you down, done. it's like, whoa. you don't even know what happened.
And it's a pity that to end World Games like that on the Commodore 64 with something that you play for less than the lead up, you know. By the time you're probably waiting for like a good 30 seconds before, you know, all the ceremony happens, and then action starts, and 3 seconds later it's done. I suppose that's what sumo is like that, but from a gaming perspective, it doesn't provide you the reward. So, that's why I'm neutral on this specky version. It does provide a couple of highlights or more engaging experiences.
I think highlights is a bit, is a bit I don't know. Exaggerated there.
Oh, I said weightlifting's on par, skiing's better.
Weightlifting's on par. I totally disagree.
From a gameplay experience point of view, I mean, there's no crowd.
The sound, man. You need that sound.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no crowd. That's what's missing.
It's not the crowd. It's the, I don't remember the breathing. The fingers. No, there's at the
no
start.
There's no breathing.
Well, it does the fingers. It does do the fingers.
Yeah, but no sound though.
And it does the thing where you hold the weights above your head too long and you crash through the floor.
Yeah, but it's more the sound. I'm saying the sound of all that. Yeah. And I find that really important for this game. That's me personally. So, yeah. Mm.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of the specy version.
I don't think he's ever a fan.
The worst one. It's definitely not the worst one though. But it's not. It just seems like what Daz said. It seems like it's a quick rushed port. You know what I mean? Like they didn't even bother putting in the travel logs, which I kind of liked. You know, it just adds that little bit of atmosphere to the game. The sound is big issue, obviously, like lack of sound effects, and like almost I would say most of the events didn't have proper sound effects, you know, so it kind of throws you off. Like it's important, like really important to the gameplay. Graphics were mediocre at best. The note that I did make, which is funny, but this is exactly what Louis said, is that the skiing was actually pretty cool. It was nice and fast. This is one of the only, there are other versions that have some like FOSS skiing, but this one just played really well. And the C64 skiing is my least favorite event because you just crash all the time. It doesn't matter what you do. So the Spectrum one goes super fast and it controls really well. It's like completely different. So I'll definitely give them that. They had the skiing event's great, but overall, I think it's just a quick rushed port to me.
Mm. Well, there's a specy version. I reckon this should lead to the Amstrad CPC version.
The Amstrad version. I'll kick off things if that.
Go fine. For it.
I'll do, mm-hmm. It's my turn, yeah. So the Amstrad version. Well, what can I say? I was disappointed with this because I do have a little bit of a soft spot for the Amstrad. Graphics are good until things start moving.
Yeah.
Sound was okay, had crowd noise, so that's all, you know, they're all pluses, especially compared to the specy version. But there's no countries here again. There's no travel logs. A lot of the little comedic Easter egg type things are missing. Geez, barrel jumping was awful.
Terrible.
It looked like our guy was going through mud rather than ice.
The speed was bizarre.
Mm-hmm. Oh, awful, yes. And I found a couple of the events, no matter what I did, just nothing would happen. I had no success with caber toss or log rolling. I think if I recall correctly, I would last not much more than 2 seconds on log rolling on the Amstrad version for whatever reason. So there was something in terms of game mechanics that was a little bit more, or whether it required more reaction timing quicker, but it was not consistent with the other versions. Probably best. I mean, in going back to the graphics, I mean, the sumo looks wonderful. It's one of the better looking ones at the start. And again, it starts, and it's even slower than this specy version. I was quite disappointed with the overall presentation of the Amstrad version, and probably almost be my least favorite. It would definitely be my least favorite on the home micro machines.
Hmm. Mm.
Amstrad, Brendan, you're a big Amstrad lover. What do you think of it?
It's okay. Again, it's, you know, there's a lot of things missing from this one, which I just feel is like just another one of these rush ports. Like the travelogue's missing, the animation, the background's all gone. The barrel jumping is horrendous. It's probably one of the worst, it's the worst representation of it. It's weird. It's eyes almost not even moving. Like, the animation is so bad. I do like that, the fact that the game has a lot of sound effects, so you have all the cues at least. I mean, that's one positive thing. I did like the graphics. I think the graphics are awesome.
Me too.
The animation's just not that great, but the graphics, it looks nice. It still looks nice, even though it's animated like mediocre, you know.
Just quickly on barrel jumping, did anyone notice that the actual speed on barrel jumping had no effect? It didn't seem to have much effect as to how long you could jump?
Seemed to just launch like a rocket. Yeah. Like, you didn't even like do anything, and you just shot right over it. I was confused by the whole thing. Like, the speed threw me off because it didn't seem like he was going fast. And then you jump and he just flies way over, and you're like, what?
Oh, okay, good. It's not just me.
I found it really bizarre. I do like the fact that the bull riding part is like the C64 version, where it's a large stadium and it scrolls across, you know, until you get thrown off of that. Some of the other versions, I think it was the 16-bit versions, it's like the small little like cage kind of thing. It's really like a weird zoomed out shot. But anyway, overall, I don't think it's the worst. It's just okay. I do like the look of the graphics though, but it kind of falls apart in a lot of areas. The skiing actually was fairly decent also. It ran fast and it didn't like, you know, jutter or anything. So again, the skiing in this one is still better than the C64 one. But overall, it's just an okay version.
It's funny. I interpret this a little bit differently. I kind of agree with everything you're saying. Look, I like the title screen. Again, sound, I found the sound was minimal as well. I don't know. Colorful graphics. I found the graphics looked like they were based off the 16-bit versions. That's what I sort of took from it, especially the wrestling. It doesn't look... I think it looks like it was trying to look like the C64 one. It looks trying to look like the C16-bit versions from it. I found, controls were hit and miss. And again, sound was missing from certain moves, which helped with the timing. I found most events played okay, but the ones with the scrolling I found slowed down, like barrel jumping. It was too jarring. There was no flow. I just found this version, like a lot of the events, the flow wasn't there. Like wrestling, you know what I'm saying, wrestling. Weightlifting, played really well. If anything, I think that's the only one that played well on all versions, I think. I wasn't too impressed. I probably do like the Switch version a little bit more over this. Graphics, no, but I think the Switch version did play a bit better. Just that scrolling and just how it just, to me, just puts me off. It just breaks the game.
Awful scrolling.
It's awful. Shocking. It's shocking. It's a shame because it actually looks pretty good. The game looks nice.
Yeah.
But that's it from me. What do we got next? Okay. I'm going to get Apple. Get Apple IIe. Because we've done the four main, what, three main 8-bits, so.
Yeah, so did you guys do this one?
No. Well, I did the Master System.
No.
I did Master
System. Okay. Okay, well, you dodged a real bullet there with that one. Then Apple II version. I mean, this computer it definitely has a lot of charm, like from a retro point of view. But, wow, like to play this now, it's tough. It's a mission.
It's
tough. It's tough. The music is god-awful. I mean, I'm sure you can just imagine what it sounds like. I was playing it with the keyboard because that's the way I had it set up. But anyway, the barrel jumping in this one is really bad. The background doesn't move.
Sure.
So basically, your dude just looks like he's standing in one place, moving his leg, and then the barrels look like they're just coming for you, like they're after you, like Pac-Man or something. It's super weird. It's like so off-putting. Like, I was like, what is going on here? It's weird. If you think the Spectrum as cliff diving scrolling was terrible, you have nothing on the Apple II version. Uh-huh. It's like, it's just like, it reminded me of like an old dot matrix printer trying to print something.
Oh, wow.
Out. It was like trying to print the, you know, the cliff going all the way down. Some of the events, the graphics actually look pretty nice, you know, considering. But then other ones, it just looked terrible. It's like it's so uneven. Like there wasn't any like quality control. So it's just like, yeah, that's good enough. Just get it out there.
Mm. Is it the cliff diving that has a purple skyline?
Yeah.
That's Apple graphics.
Yeah, it's typical, Apple, like, you know, that purple pinkish color. Yeah.
Magenta.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's what they call it. Magenta.
Yeah.
Yeah. Overall, it plays terribly. You know, the input, like, it doesn't even feel like it's in sync at all. But this is like bottom of the barrel. Wow. So,
I like the look of it because it's got the Apple IIe charm.
It's got that charm. Yeah, but
it just doesn't play well.
When you play it. Woo.
I guess it would have been good when you were like, you know, 6 years old playing in primary school in the computer room.
Yeah, definitely.
But you wouldn't play it now, yeah.
You definitely wouldn't play it now with the other versions available.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Oh, well. Poor Apple too. DOS. Who did DOS?
I did the DOS version.
I did DOS, yeah.
Oh, you both did DOS. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, Brendan did extra credit work, so he's trying to suck up to the teacher, obviously.
Yeah.
But I actually quite enjoyed the DOS version, even though it's presented in CGA. It's funny because, you know, back in 1991, 92, I wouldn't have touched anything with CGA graphics. And here we are, what, 30 years on, and I'm looking at CGA graphics and looking, these aren't too bad. But I think in respect to, from a gameplay perspective, I enjoyed my time with the DOS version. It has a lot of the, so it's got the countries, the travel logs, it's got a lot of the comedic Easter eggs. I thought the barrel jumping was the best version. Again, put aesthetics aside. The feel of it was really good. It felt a lot more fluid in terms of moving, gaining speed and to jump, where with some of the versions, again, it felt it was easy to fall out of rhythm and you're not really sure why. Even the sound wasn't too bad, or it was as good as it could get with the beeper sounds. I think whoever worked on the sound there has some talent to get those type of noises coming out of the little beeper speaker. I was quite impressed with that. What I really liked was the ski. Now, the ski was quite good speed, but at a touch, it was actually, it scrolled. It was a little bit of multi-scroller in terms of it wasn't just scrolling down, but you could scroll left and right and extend the ski field. So that was kind of stood out for me. So there was a couple of really strong points within the DOS version. The bull riding was awful. Again, the four colors and the primary color on that screen was black. So the desert sand was represented in black. So imagine that. So that really didn't come out too well. And the gameplay itself didn't really come across strongly. So I was expecting to really dislike it, but it was one of the more enjoyable versions of it, and I didn't mind the limitations on graphics and sound. I think they did an admirable job with it. What do you think, Brendan?
Oh, well, sorry, I know because I didn't review. I'm just looking at on pictures online. To me, it just looks like the C64 version, but in different colors.
Yeah, four color C64 is a good way to describe it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. Okay, Brendan.
Yeah. No. For I thought it was okay. I wasn't like. I didn't love it, but it did a good job for what it was. I've also come to kind of enjoy this kind of the CGA look. I don't know what it is about it. It just feels like so old computery. It just makes me feel like happy just looking at it. But I thought the animation particularly was, for the most of the events, was really good. It played pretty well as well. Again, the skiing on this one was really fun to play. Kabatos, I don't know what it is about it. I couldn't do anything on that event. I don't know what was going on. I found that to be hard anyway, but on the DOS version, I couldn't even do anything. I was just, the dude like just threw it up and landed on his head and smashed him into the ground, you know, that kind of thing. But the beeper music is, that's not something I can really, I mean, I used to like, you know, when you're just playing DOS games in the late 80s and early 90s, you know, it was fun, but hearing that now, it's kind of grounding. But yeah, it was made when it was made, and that's what was available. Overall, I think it's okay. I mean, for what it was, you know, for the limits of it, I think they did a decent job. I particularly like the graphics, though.
Yeah, it is. Like, it does remind you a lot of the C64 version, albeit it's in four colors. And yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing a you know, full VGA version of this if anyone ever gets bored. You know, pop on and
yeah, that would be
World
cool.
Games DX version, extended
DX,
version.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Nah, nice one. All right, so next we'll go 16-bit computers. I can start with the Amiga. I'll go. Me, I'm normally quick. This is the first time I played the Amiga one too, by the way. I actually didn't even know this was on the 16-bit machines. I thought it was just an 8-bit game, to be honest.
Yeah.
Until we started doing this. Yeah. So, you know, yeah, I love the intro and music. I think the controls are perfect. Graphics and sound are great. They look a little bit strange to begin with because I'm just so used to the 64, you know, looked to it. But I felt the game ran a little fast. Now, I don't know if that had to do with, I was running it off the Amiga Mini. So I don't know if, I'm not sure if it was emulation or not, but it still played fine. Because I found, especially the barrel jumping, it was like really fast. But yeah, nothing really stood out. To me, it was just it's pretty solid port. That's what I really liked about it. Again, the events that I didn't know how to play, I still couldn't play them. I tried, but it's funny how I mentioned it. With the weightlifting, I found it a bit difficult at the start. Because even just the way that the weightlifter looked, he just looked chunkier. He just looked strange. But
yeah.
He doesn't look Russian. He looks... To me, he looked British. And I was thinking, oh, hang on.
Yeah, like a British bulldog. Like, yeah, like
a Russian, yeah.
Yeah.
He's a bit more of a heavyweight as opposed to one of the middleweight classes that is represented in the 8 versions.
See, but after a few goes, I got the hang of that one too. But it's, I like it. It's got the start with the fingers, with the noise and that kind of thing. The sound, all the sounds there. So I found it very, very playable. So, yeah, there's not much else I could add to that. So, yeah, who wants to go next? Go, Brendan.
Yeah, I thought it was overall, it's pretty decent. I don't want to, like, repeat everything you said, but the music was good renditions of the C64 ones. They weren't as charming, but it was still good. I like all the sound effects, good cues, so you knew what was going on. Graphics, to me, there's nothing wrong with them. You know, the animation, everything is good. But the style of it just kind of threw me off. Like, it's a little bit more realistic. Not as, like, you know, the C64 one or even the 8-bit ones. Everybody's a little bit cartoony. So, it, like, gives it a little bit of a, I don't know, just like a fun kind of charm to it. But I thought, like, the 16-bit versions, like, they kind of made them, the characters, very realistic in style. Especially the weightlifting, it looked kind of bizarre. But like, you know, the graphics not really being my taste. They're still good. Overall, it plays well. Again, Kabatos, couldn't do it on the Amiga. Smash my head in again. But, yeah, it's decent. It's a decent port.
Yeah, I enjoyed the Amiga version as well. I think it just set when you first load it up and you see the weightlifter looking different, it initially put me off. But then, no, hang on. Just because it doesn't look like the C64 version doesn't mean it's bad. It's just different. So there's no problems with me from that. I was happy to see that the graphics weren't that glossy Amiga type graphics that you see a lot of platformers, you know, look. So I was grateful for that. I found, and like you said, Darren, a couple of the events I found played faster and maybe more realistic.
It wasn't just me.
Definitely cliff diving, yeah. Yeah, look, in most versions of cliff diving, you're kind of still floating down.
Yeah.
Where the Amiga one, you're really rocketing
it's
down.
Hammock, gravity. Yeah. I thought it was just me. React. It's like, you don't have time to do anything.
Skiing was unfortunately just way too easy to crash, like the Commodore 64 version, so it didn't quite... And as I said, bull riding, I didn't mind the static view. It was overall, you know, the screen itself is nice to look at. So there's no scrolling on that. So it's interesting that they decided to take that approach with bull riding compared to the 8-bit systems. Overall, as I said, nice ground, nice graphics. It has the countries, has the travel log, so very little to complain about, even if you're a diehard fan of the C64 version.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah.
I think that's a fair assessment. We all gave it.
Yeah.
Go next with Atari ST. I'll just go from here. I think it's pretty much identical to the Amiga. I didn't find much difference. I felt the speed was actually a lot nicer. I think it matched the C64 versions in speed-wise. So I found this version more playable than the Amiga. I think it was just nicer. I have to say, I reckon it's probably nearly as good as the 64 version. It just feels right on the Atari ST. It's quite strange for me to say that. Yeah.
I enjoyed it very much, to be honest, the Atari. So given I'm very well now familiar with World Games and the events and all the nuances, this one really impressed me, even compared to the Commodore 64 version.
Mm.
At first look, I thought, it's going to be the same as the Amiga. Or maybe look like the Amiga, but be a little bit more sluggish. But no, it's the opposite.
Yeah,
they got the balance right gameplay wise. It's somewhere between the Amiga and the C64 version.
Even the sound was better.
Even
the sound was better.
And if I dare say it, if I want to play World Games, I think I'm going to go to the Atari ST version.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you, mate. I agree. Yeah. I agree with you. Good. I thought I was going to be alone in this one. Okay. Sorry, Brendan.
The one note I made about the Atari ST, it plays really well, much better than the Amiga version.
Yeah.
So, it just feels much better. It flowed, like, well. The graphics are a little bit more colorful than the Amiga version, and the sound was better. Usually the sound is, you know, the Amiga one's usually a little bit better, but it's the opposite here. But it just played well. I've nothing bad to say about this version, really. Besides looking different, you know, it's pretty damn good.
One thing to note, we said with both the Amiga and the Atari ST versions, the order of the events is different compared to the 8-bit versions. So the 8-bit versions have weightlifting, barrel jumping, diving, is that right?
It's barrel jumping second.
And cliff diving third, ski fourth, whereas the Amiga 16-bit versions had weightlifting, cliff diving, barrel jumping, bull riding. So skiing gets relegated down to about the sixth event, I think, off memory.
I wonder why they did that. Maybe because it's a certain room on the disc, maybe.
It could be that, or whether they felt that these were the more engaging, they put what they felt was the more engaging events up front.
Yeah, yeah.
Not sure which. I don't know why you would do that, because really you'd prefer to spread the strong events across.
Yeah,
yeah.
Not stack them up at the front. But no, as I said, it's 16-bit versions for once. Came out, yeah. Both versions are quite good, with the Atari ST version definitely coming out stronger.
Mm. How's that?
Yeah, agree.
Tick for Atari ST. All right, cool. Console time. Console. Oh, actually, yeah. Sorry. No, sorry. I'll take a step back. MSX. None of us reviewed it because we couldn't find a ROM for it, unfortunately, but yeah. From further research on YouTube, it just, again, as normal, it's just a Spectrum port that looked probably ran a bit slower. So I don't think we missed out on anything there.
Yep.
So there we go. All right, so console. So we've got Master System and the NES left. I'll have to go Master System first.
I'd love to hear your thoughts.
I need to get this off my chest. We were all.
How'd you enjoy the weightlifting?
Look, it was okay, but that's not even the problem. It's and I have to admit, it's dumb on my part. I had the cartridge version of this, but I never, like, you know, you get to a point where you start just buying games just for the shelf. This was one of them, you know, because I got it cheap. But I never actually put it in the thing. So I played this for the first time for this review. And I honestly thought there was a mistake. It's only got 4 events. Why? It's you would have felt so ripped off if you bought this.
Well, weightlifting is not one of those events.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I wanted to see what you'd say. It's barrel jumping, log rolling, bull riding, and caber toss. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Terrible. Absolutely terrible. Terrible, wow. Terrible. Look, barrel jumping was okay. Log rolling, it took me ages to actually fall, but I couldn't win. I just don't know what to do. Bull riding, I just fell off straight away. Caber toss, I actually won. I actually did okay in that one. Graphics are gorgeous. Nice sound, but why on earth would you put 4 events? Now, imagine buying this for like $60, $70 back in the day. You would have cursed if you only had 4 events.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Yeah. So, I was, especially there's no weightlifting. So I liked Louis' little trick question there before. I was, because that's my favorite one, maybe because it's the first one there, you know? But, I was greeted with some great music and graphics. The controls were really good. It's just... Yeah, I just think it's a farce of a port. I don't get why they would do that. It's cash in, I guess. You know, I think US Gold did this on the Master System, from memory. So I don't know. The Master System can do so much more. You know, the graphics and the sound was there, and yeah, they gave you half a game probably for double the price of what you would buy the other versions for. So this is very bad. Four events doesn't cut it for me.
That's terrible.
All right, wow. The NES.
The good old NES. So I got this game. I got this a couple of years ago at a convention. It was super cheap, so I was just like, what the heck? I might as well just pick it up. And like Darren said, you know, you kind of collect games after a while and you don't get to even like play them. Especially like just putting them on the shelf. But so yeah, I slapped this thing in the other day finally, and it's an NES version. It's got that good old bopping music, you know, the NES, you're kind of like,
yeah.
The salsa version of the C64 tunes. It's kind of fun. This one is a kind of like a middle ground conversion, I'd say. You know, there's a lot of stuff missing. Like, you know, I think this one didn't have the travel logs. I may be wrong about that. But, you know, a lot of animation is like being cut down. And the graphics are just, you know, they're okay. There's nothing like really great about it. A lot of sound effects are missing out of this one, which I found really weird because the NES is always like overdosing on like sound effects. You know, every time you take a step, true, it's like, yeah. Chick, 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 chick. You know, like, but this one, particularly weird that a lot of the events like are missing sound when you actually need it. I thought that was like really, really odd. I think this, the NES version is, it's kind of like a lot of the other NES versions we've looked at already on this podcast, you know, like Spy vs. Spy and Cybernoid. It just, it feels like a lot of the personality out of the game has been like just drained away.
And I was going to say, very, it just looks empty.
It's just very bland and empty. Like there's no, like the fun factor is gone.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's strange. It's not that it plays badly or anything. It's just like, it just doesn't feel fun to play.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of weird. I find that with a lot of the games that were converted from computers, you know, 8-bit computers to the NES, I find a lot of the versions are like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's I don't know why, but yeah, it's okay. If you, you know, if you had this on your NES and you didn't play the C64 or the other ones, you know, you'd probably be pretty happy. It's got all the events and everything. So, yeah, it's an okay version, I guess.
It's funny because I look at the screenshots and it looks like one of those games that you would have got back in the mid-2000s on those NES clone controllers right. that you plug in your TV, you know, with, along with Galaga like or something.
Mm.
It just looks like it's this game would have been on there, you know?
Yeah, yeah. it's just very bland.
It looks cheap. But I didn't play it, so I can't say the playability. Yeah. You're saying it's okay. So look, it
plays okay, yeah.
Look, I'd probably go this over the Master System version. At least you get
that
all
sounds
the
like
events.
It.
Yeah, it's like you said, you know, games that were ported from 8-bit computers to the NES always got that, it's missing, they're always missing something, especially like Last Ninja, for example, Last Ninja 2, which is Last Ninja on the NES.
Oh, jeez, that's
terrible. You know, that always comes to mind.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's all of them, isn't it? Is there any more?
Yeah. No.
That covers versions that we're everything.
There you go. Wow. Mm. Ooh, okay. All right. What's your least favorite? Brendan, you go first.
Ooh.
From what you played, obviously.
Probably the Apple II. Just because of it plays so badly and the scrolling is awful and the sound is terrible. So there's really nothing to. There's nothing there. It's the one version that has everything that goes wrong for it.
Okay, so, but is it bad because it's just the worst one out of the lot, or is it bad for that computer? So you got to sort of stoop to its level, you know what I mean?
I think it's bad for that computer. Okay. It's capable of more than that. Like, you know, like not having backgrounds moving with
it's lazy.
The barrel. It seems lazy. I mean, you know, it's kind of cheap. Yeah. So I said Apple II for me.
All right. Louis?
Yeah, out of the ones I reviewed, the Amstrad would be my least favorite, though I have played the Sega Master System version, and that would be the worst out of the whole bunch.
All right. Fair enough. Mm-hmm. Likewise, Master System for me, hands down. Because it's half a game, which is it's ridiculous. That's just stupid. It makes me angry. I don't know why it makes me angry, but it makes me angry. it's not like I paid $70 for it back in the day, but that's not the point. I just feel like it's to cash in. You know, they take advantage of people. So,
do you know what year that came out in? The Master System version.
I can check.
Yeah. Be interesting because it was probably like later, right? Like 88 or something, I would assume.
I reckon it'd be later than that. I'm guessing 1990.
Oh, wow.
80, yeah. Let's have a look. Where is it? 1990. Wow. There you go.
Wow.
1990.
So, wow. And they couldn't even be bothered.
So who was that released by, given I think Epix was done
is that
by
US, US, US Gold, I guess?
Let's have a look.
I can go. But US Gold did Impossible Mission.
Oh, this is 1986 Epix Inc. Public. Oh, no. Developed and published by Sega. Wow.
Yeah.
Not really.
That's bad. Come on, Sega. You can do better than that. That's a strange. Well, there you go. That's very disappointing.
Yeah. Because I don't think, because US Gold weren't a game developer. They were just a publisher.
Publisher, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So,
well, how can they do such a thing? Especially after they, you know, they developed and published Ghouls and Ghosts on the Master System. They did a cracker job on that. And then they come out of this filth. Filth, man. That's a bit harsh, isn't it? Filth.
So what are we thinking as in terms of what's our favourite version?
Favourite. I'll go first. You know, I'm going Atari ST. I think that was my favourite.
Yeah, I agree. Atari ST is for me. Brendan, are you still a Commodore 64 diehard?
I'm going to stay with the C64, guys.
Oh,
hard. Brendan, at least let me ask you this. Zap 64 gave it a 98%. How close to that mark do you think it is?
How crazy is that?
That, look, all I can say is that Zap 64 reviews are ridiculous. I've been reviewing, like, you know, going back and reviewing like old games, you know, and then looking at the Zap reviews. Wow, they were like all over the place. Usually, like, quite wrong, in my opinion. Yeah. It's definitely not a 98, but
No chance.
I like it.
Yeah, I would have
so screw you guys.
Yeah, I would give 98. I guess summer games I'd give a 98 if you're going to.
I wouldn't give it 98, but it's really good.
98.
No, that's all right. It's all right.
That's all right.
Okay, you can give 98. Okay, yeah, it's all right. 98. Thanks.
It's all right. Yeah, 98.
See? You should be a modern day games reviewer.
Yeah, I know, huh? All right.
So how about in terms of events? What's our favorite event?
Barrel jumping for me.
Barrel jumping?
Yeah.
What about you, Brendan?
That's a tough one. I actually like the cliff diving.
I don't even know what to do.
Fun.
I'm not good at that at all. I fluke that.
Yeah, I'm torn. I'd be torn between weightlifting and cliff diving. I think in respect to cliff diving, what kind of really draws me is the ability of, well, the attempt of trying to get your diver as close to the edge as possible.
Yeah.
And then once you go into water, doing that satisfying
quick pull up lift.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That movement. It's hard to describe why that's satisfying, but oddly it is. And as in weightlifting, I just enjoy it. I just love the up down mechanics of trying to find which pixel you're supposed to make the move.
Yeah. I enjoy it. It's probably my second favorite.
Hey, did you actually? Given that you mentioned barrel jumping, Darren, did you? I think my facts on this are correct. Originally, Germany was going to be soccer penalty shooting.
Oh, really? I don't know that.
They thought but they didn't. Whoever was building or developing that mini game didn't quite feel it was a worthy game, so they pivoted and did barrel jumping. So it's quite interesting.
But that's not really an event, you know, it's sort of.
But yeah, I read when I was doing the Epix documentary, I found like this guy had done some, I don't know where I found this piece of information, but I couldn't put it in the documentary because I couldn't like verify it like with any other source. It was only at this one place. But from whatever I read is that the barrel jumping, and anybody from Germany can probably confirm this, so you guys can say something, but it's apparently the German barrel jumping isn't really a real thing. According to this article that I read, is that Epix used an encyclopedia to find out all these sporting events from around the world, because obviously there's no internet, right? So they took all the information from an encyclopedia, and the guy that wrote the encyclopedia, according to this like article, made up that event because he didn't have he didn't have any information about like a Germany the actual jumping event, so he just made it up, and Epix just took it for word, you know, like it was a real event and they put it in the game. So that's what I read, but I couldn't confirm it with any other thing. So I don't know whether it's like legit, but it sounded
interesting. Because Wikipedia, according to Wikipedia, barrel jumping was first done in Netherlands.
Oh, there we are,
see. Mm. So the mystery thickens.
What about our what was our least favorite event?
I'll probably say bull riding. So I have no idea what the hell was going on.
Oh no, that was fun.
Yeah, that's fun. You got to read instructions.
Yeah, you got to read instructions, dude.
Dodgy Dave didn't give me one, mate. Dodgy Dave didn't give me one.
For me, it's at log rolling. It's just
That's pretty shit.
Too. It wasn't until more recently I got a sense of what was supposed to happen because it was describing to me. It was just move left, right, in a particular watching the levels. Log roller's legs. But. I suppose I said I'm disappointed with said log rolling and sumo. I don't think World Games really. It's like in summer games too. You got fencing or anything that had two players.
Yeah.
It doesn't quite work. I think I prefer it the single player event where you can actually it's either based on time or a score based on what you do. But there was no rhyme or reason as to why I got 14 points in log rolling. I had no idea why. Why I got somehow 62 points in sumo wrestling when I just got turfed out in four seconds. But I suppose you could probably lay that criticism for some of the other events. Now, I know that someone has picked up with bull riding on the C64 version that the score is actually randomized and predetermined. Irrespective of you just have to stay on for the ride for the 8 seconds. But there's no qualitative measure. You know? So some sort of randomizer gets determined the moment you start riding the bull and you get that score assuming you last the 8 seconds. So I have, and apparently they did this by creating a snapshot using Vice. So right when your bull starts moving, they snapshot, and then no matter how they performed, the score was always the same. So I wonder if that's all in all versions or just the C64 version. So there's quite a few. So quite a few nuances within the game that.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Because really, I mean, I don't know, Brendan, given that you know how to play bull riding, could you tell whether you've got a better score or not? Other than I lasted on the more difficult bull. Otherwise, you wouldn't really know.
No. Oh, really? Huh, that's interesting. I never really look at the score, to be honest. I just try to, like...
stay on the ball.
Make those 8 seconds, yeah? An event. Like, right. But you definitely have to look at the instructions. My least favorite one, though... My least favorite one, though, is definitely Skeen. I think it's because I played the C64 version first, and the Skeen is awful. And it always kind of like ruined it for me. And but you know, having played this, playing all the other versions now, there's quite a few systems that it actually plays really well. But you know, it's still it's kind of like the event that I just it's just not as much fun as the other ones. It just it's just like it's just okay. Skiing.
Garbage.
Garbage.
Okay, well, that wraps it up for this episode. That was fun, that one. Wonder what will be our next one, hey? We'll obviously let the Twitterverse decide. So we'll get up our suggestions up soon. Yep. So anyway, thank you. Do you have any shout-outs, Louis? Any thank yous or...?
Look, I suppose there are a lot of people I'd love to thank along the retro journey I've had experience over the past 5 years. And I'm scared of missing anyone out. But just a quick shout out to a few. Sarah from Commodore Blog, Polo from Vintage New Gaming, Uncle Kev from Reset 64, three very generous people giving of their time. I better not forget, I said, the guys over at Bitmapsoft. I said they've been good friends and people have helped me out. So I said, this is my time to give it, yeah, quick regards. And obviously to you two gentlemen, fine gentlemen, thank you so much. Not only for welcoming me on board for this podcast, but also just for being good friends.
Cheers, man.
In the past year or so. It's been wonderful to meet, get to know you both.
Through the internet. Nah, cheers, man. Thank you. No, it's true. I think all three of us have become good friends, even though Brendan's on the other side of the world. It just feels like a mate. You just legitimately feel like, you know, just a mate, you know what I mean? So
apparently Brendan and I have the same accent, so, you know, it's...
Oh, really? He said that?
We understand each other.
Well, dude, I get some weird like comments about my accent on
YouTube. I couldn't figure it out, dude. When I
there's dudes that keep on saying, I get this all the time. He says, why do you sound British and Southern at the same time? And I'm like, what? Southern? And they're like so confused. I'm like, dude, and then they're like, why are you trying to act and put on an accent? I'm like, I'm not acting and putting on I'm not even a good actor, so how could I possibly do that? It's like, shut up.
Shut up. Backhand. Like, shut up. Oh, jeez. That's funny.
Whatever.
Oh, jeez. I guess, do you have any shout outs, Brendan, at all, or would you like me to?
Just a quick shout out to good old Todd, the top loader, for helping me out on my 16-bit days.
Good bloke. Good
thing.
Bloke.
Man, that guy's a crazy bastard. he sends me like so much footage. I don't even know what to do with it. I have to like try to make sense of it all. But yeah, he's a fun guy. So I just want to thank him for helping me out there. And Daz, your stuff is coming up next for 16-bit days. So anyway, yeah. Thanks to Todd. Cheers.
Cool. It's a big thank you to everyone that supports the show, that listens in. So, yeah, we should be more consistent now that there's three of us. And that's it. So until next time, adios, everyone.
Bye-bye. Bye.